a press report. More than anything else, you have to pray for one thing, that you should have the ability to see and to see clearly. There are a lot of people who don't see. They think they do, but they don't. They don't. Now, the rest of the shiur, I'm going to explain exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe at the end, it has taken me about 40 years until I could understand a medrash. I never understood the medrash. The medrash says, "Im yom alcha adam, kvar nitkamsu kol hakaluyot, ve'ein Yerushalayim nivneit." Somebody's going to tell you, you know, everybody's back in Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim has not yet been rebuilt. Al tamin, don't believe him. Shenemar, bonei Yerushalayim, Hashem nidchei Yisrael yichanes. The Rebbe Hashem builds Yerushalayim. What do you think building Yerushalayim is? He brings in the dispersed of Klal Yisrael to Yerushalayim. That's how he builds. I never understood how could anybody be living at a time where millions of people have come back to Eretz Yisrael from all over the world, and he doesn't see anything. And you know what I found in the last many years? There are a lot of people walking around just like that. They don't see. Now, today's Yom Yerushalayim, very special day. That's what we're going to talk about. But there was also a very fascinating letter to the editor of the Jerusalem Post that was published this morning. Not too many people take out Daf 15 or 16 of the Jerusalem Post. Who's the last Chashiva that pulled out of Jerusalem Post? Well, I'm pulling one out right now. This morning's Jerusalem Post. Okay? There's a letter to the editor. Okay. A letter to the editor. I wrote it. I've been waiting a whole week for them to publish it. They took the neshama out of me. I read an article last Tuesday, and Tuesday I say a series of shiurim. I was upset all day. And then, sorry, I, in a fit of anger, I wrote this letter, and then, you know, it wasn't there on Wednesday, and it wasn't there on Thursday. When it wasn't there Friday, I said, that's it. Gold, you tried. You're a failure. They don't want your stupid letters. And then this morning, L'chvod Yom Yerushalayim, here's my letter. My letter will already tell you what I'm responding to. It's amazing how revealing a single word can be. Martin Stern, who wrote an article last Tuesday entitled "Why Haredim Should Not Be Zionists," writes, quote, Martin Stern, he's from Manchester, professor of mathematics, Kaiser Kopp, you understand, intellectual, listen to the intellectual. Some of the things he had said about, you know, it's not so religious around here, it also explains why they, the Haredim, are so ambivalent when it comes to secular celebrations such as Israel's Memorial Day, Israel's Independence Day, or Jerusalem Day, and why no prayers were said for the state or on behalf of the IDF soldiers in their circles. Now Gold says, there are words that are very revealing. The revealing word is secular. Is expressing gratitude to nearly 23,000 people who gave their lives so we can live here a secular exercise? Is thanking God for the great gift of the land of Israel only 3 short years after the Shoah a secular ceremony? Is celebrating the day that we were granted Yerushalayim the greatest prize of all a secular celebration? Shomu Shamayim! How can anybody in his right mind say it? But But this Greiser, professor of mathematics, said precisely that. He don't get it. He don't see. It's a terrible curse not to be able to see. Gold continues. You have to hear every word of my Choshev letter. Right? So I say, well, it seems we've been doing quite well, thank God, without Haredi prayers for the state and our soldiers. Let's keep it that way. But on the day of judgment, when God thunders, why didn't you thank me? I don't think it would be wise to say, well, it was secular. But the Rebbeinu Shem is not going to buy that. Sehayom osa Hashem nogilo v'nisvachovo. Whoever cannot see the godless, the awesome greatness of a Yom HaTzmut and a Yom Yerushalayim has a problem, has a very serious problem. I will never forget the, you know what, I had a birthday this week, a few days ago. That's it. And you know what, I'll tell you what's important about it. I was zeiched to live through and be quite aware of the most awesome 70 years in the history of Klal Yisrael. There's no other 70-year period in the history of the Jewish people that was awesome, as frightening, as terrifying, as glorious, as great as the past 70 years. And the fact is that there is no other people on the face of this earth that ever lived through 70 years like that. I hold that it's a mitzvah saseh, according to the Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah in Perek Shlishi, if Yud Zayin, he says it's a mitzvah saseh lehitbonen b'chasdei Hashem, to think, to meditate, to ponder about Chasdei Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shem is doing titus for us. How can you not thank him? How can you not see it? Unbelievable. Thank God I lived through these 70 years and I was able to appreciate it. Any of these characters that are going to come over to me and tell me, well, Yom HaTzmaut, blah, 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 or whatever other stupid stuff they say, I remember, all right, you'll be able to figure it out now. You know my arithmetic. It was 2 weeks before my bar mitzvah. May 14th, 1948. It was Erev Shabbos. I lived in Williamsburg. I was born in Williamsburg. Most people don't even know that there was a hospital called Williamsburg Maternity Hospital. I was born there. It later became the Polish Shtetl. So you're learning a little bit history of Williamsburg. People think they know Williamsburg. I know Williamsburg. It's Friday, the day of Hakamas HaMedina. I came into shul that Friday for Mincha. The air was electric. It was unbelievable. I can't describe it. I get choked up every time I think of it. And then right before Mincha, somebody comes running into shul and he says, President Truman recognized the state of Israel. I saw 500 giants standing before me in shul, and many of them with numbers on their arms. Anybody who's going to tell me Medina Shmedina knows not what they speak. Klal Yisrael was ecstatic. Who could have believed? But at the same moment that we were ecstatic, there was concern. There was deep concern. Seven armies began the invasion of Eretz Yisrael. That we survived and prevailed and emerged victorious is Chasdei Hashem of the highest order. Can't thank God for that? I don't get it. I saw it. I remember that. I also remember the May of 1967. Most probably is the only way to understand the Six-Day War and the liberation of Yerushalayim. It was a month of fear. The entire Jewish world was frightened and terrified. The sounds of war all around Eretz Yisrael. And then little by little, Eretz Yisrael is cut off from the rest of the world. All planes stop flying, strangling Eretz Yisrael from all sides. I was in Toronto then. I'll tell you my great story from Toronto. I get all choked up. What could we do in Chutz Laaretz? You know, we big knackers in Chutz Laaretz. We give money, you understand? We say, tell them we give money. So here it is. There was a story in the paper that a fellow went into his bank manager and asked for a loan, a pretty hefty loan. So the bank manager asked him, what do you want this loan for? He says, I'm going to give money to Israel. Bank manager laughs and says, no, we don't give money for that. You know, you want to buy a house, we'll give you a loan, give you a mortgage. You want to do home improvements, you know. You want to buy a car. So the fellow says, I want a loan for home improvement. And the bank manager gave it to him. It was an awesome period of time. Did any of you ever read Michael Oren's History of the Six-Day War? Well, if you didn't, you have to put that on your Torah agenda. Michael Oren is the president ambassador from Israel to the United States of America. I mentioned his name in a shiur last week. Somebody said, hey, Rabbi, his name was Bornstein. They took off the B, so you're left with Orenstein. You take off the Stein, and you're left with Oren. So we have an ambassador, Michael Oren, in the United States of America. He wrote a history of the Six-Day War. If you read 4 or 5 pages, you will see one of the great, awesome acts of Chasdei Hashem, probably in history. It's fascinating. 7:20 in the morning, it was a Monday, June 5th, the first Israeli planes take off from one airbase. Minutes, one after another. 30, 40, 50. At 7:30, there are 300 Israeli planes making their way towards Sinai. They're going to break up into two groups. Those going out to the Mediterranean who will come into Egypt from the Mediterranean. Those going down to the Yam Suf going to come in the other side. But wait a minute. There are 100,000 Egyptian troops in Sinai. How are they going to get through without being detected? And they assumed that they were going to be detected. They assumed that we're going to lose a quarter of the Air Force, but they have to do it. They have to go. Well, the only ones who picked them up were Jordanian radar, and Jordan immediately notifies Cairo. Cairo doesn't answer. Again, Jordan sends messages. They're coming. Egypt doesn't answer. What happened? They used to change their codes every day. The Egyptians, for some strange reason, had forgotten to tell them the new code for the day. So Jordan doesn't know how to communicate with Egypt. So Egypt doesn't know that they're coming. But wait a minute. There are 100,000 troops in the Sinai. Ah, here the Rebbe Hashem, he figured it out. The entire top brass of the Egyptian army were in two planes, and they were inspecting all the installations in Sinai that morning between 7 and 8. And they had given instructions to all of their aircraft batteries to maintain absolute silence between 7 and 8 in the morning. Because they might shoot down the commander-in-chief of the Air Force who's in a plane up there. Unbelievable. 300 Israeli planes cross over 100,000 Egyptian troops all through Sinai. Nobody knows a thing. The Sahar Haganah of Egypt had gone to sleep the night before, and he gave strict instructions, nobody is to wake him up, regardless of what happens. So nobody woke him up, regardless of what happened. This is Derech HaTeva. This is Derech HaTeva. This is a Rabbeinu Shleilam. A Rabbeinu Shleilam in all of his glory. And therefore, by 8 o'clock, half of the Egyptian Air Force was destroyed on the ground. And by 8:30, a quarter to 9, there was nothing left of the Egyptian Air Force. 400, 500 planes. The skies belonged to Klal Yisrael. That was the end of the war. The only thing is, the two parties involved, Egypt and Israel, both of them didn't want to tell. Egypt didn't want to tell because they're telling all of their allies that we're bombing Tel Aviv, Haifa is in ruins, Yerushalayim is burning. So they can't say what happened. Nasser isn't going to call up and say, listen, we lost the war. Wait a minute, it's only 1 hour. Israel was afraid that the United Nations was going to impose a ceasefire. They don't want anybody to know about it. So I remember, we lived through that Monday, that Tuesday, till the middle of Wednesday sometime, assuming that Eretz Yisrael is being wiped off the face of this earth. And then sometime on Wednesday, all sorts of funny reports started coming across on the radio. It took a few hours. Yerushalayim is in the hands of an Israel. But wait, Israel we thought was being blown to smithereens. It was on Yom Yerushalayim that we found out that there was an awesome victory. Yad Hashem. Zahayom Osa Hashem. Nogila v'nismachobo. An unbelievable expression of God pouring out his kindness to his people. And with the beneficiaries of that Ad HaYom HaZeh. When I think back, 68 years ago, Jews were begging the United States to bomb the rail lines to Auschwitz. And they wouldn't do it. 68 years later, the whole world is speculating, when is Israel going to go in and crush Iran? Whole world is concerned. When is the Israeli Air Force going to take off? Have you ever seen a difference of that sort? Of people being taken to the slaughter and a people strong, powerful? A whole world shakes before what Israel may do. It's unbelievable. You have to think about it. That's his bonein b'chazdei Hashem. That's what the Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yon is talking about. You have to be mitbonein, you have to think about, ponder, meditate, until you see what the Rabbeinu Shem has done here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what the Rabbeinu Shem has done. I have a hero. I want to tell you a little bit about my hero. My hero is Rabbi Akiva. I push it, shudder before Rabbi Akiva. Recently, there were a few years that I lived up in the Galil. I was dividing my time between Har Nof. I live in Har Nof, Yerushalayim. Nafshi Choshka, we wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle of the big city. So we rented an apartment in Migdal. And usually on Thursday we drive up to Migdal. I'd come back on Monday because I say Shiurim on Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's beautiful, the Galil is. All of Eretz Israel is beautiful. But see, we had both Yerushalayim and the Galil. Comes Lag Baimer, you understand, the whole world is going to Midon. I don't like crowds. The last place in the world you'll find me on Lag Baimer is going to be in Miro. You have to do something. So I tell my wife, come. The whole world is going to Miron. We're going to Tveria. Tveria is 7 minutes away. That's all. Migdal is 5 kilometers north of Tveria.
You know where we're going, I tell her? We're going to the kever of Rav Shimon ben Yochai's Rebbe. We're going to Rebbe Akiva. We're going to Rebbe Akiva. She loved the idea. Now I want to tell you, when I came to the kever of Rebbe Akiva, I didn't say Tillim. But if you want another little bit Hashgacha Pratis, I'll tell you exactly what I did by Rebbe Akiva's kever. And here was Pashut Rebbein Shem. I come to the kever. You know what's there on the table? A Tanakh. You know, one of the things that I like to ask people. You ever learned Masechta Makkos? Yes, yeah, sure. You remember the Gemara at the end of Makkos? Yes, yeah, sure. Yeah, what was anything special about the Gemara at the end of Makkos? Yeah, it's a nice Gemara. There are two stories, isn't it? What are the two stories in the Gemara? By the way, here you're going to see a classic example of people who don't get it. You can learn something and not even see what it says there. The Gemara says two stories about Rabbi Akiva. Pam Achas, Chachmei Yisrael, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. They were walking someplace in Italy, 120 kilometers away from Rome, and they heard Kol Hamula Shel Romi. They heard the noise of Rome, the cacophonous noise of Rome. The noise represents the power, the strength, the might. Rome, mighty Rome. Hitchilu Heim Bochim, Chachmei Yisrael began to cry. Rabbi Akiva smiled. You remember the conversation? Why are you smiling, Rabbi Akiva? Well, why are you guys crying? They said, what are you talking about? These Avdei Avedah Zarah, Romans, you understand, Maktidim L'Avedus Kichavim, and they're living B'Sheket, B'Shalva, with such peace and security and strength. V'onu Beit Hadom Ragleinu, the Beis Hamikdash is Chorev, Sodav Beish, we shouldn't cry. So he says, that's why I'm smiling. Because I'm convinced that if kacha, this is the way the Revelation treats those who are overrated Sono, can you imagine what reward there's going to be for Klal Yisrael who are overrated Sono? Shuv Pam Achas. Second story in the world. Shuv Pam Achas, they were coming from the east toward Yerushalayim. And they came to Haratzofim. They looked down from Haratzofin and they saw the Chorban. Most probably the Beis HaMikdash was still smoldering. Koru Bigdeyem. They tore Kriya. Then they went further and they came to the eastern slope of Har HaBayit and they started going up the slope and then they saw Shuol Yotze Mibeit Kodshei HaKadoshim. A fax coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They began to cry. Rabbi Akiva smiles. All right, same conversation. Why are you crying? Why are you smiling? So he says, what do you mean why we're crying? The place that only a Kohen Gadol was permitted to go in on Kodesh HaKodashim, only on Yom Kippur. And now foxes are there. The lo nifke, we shouldn't cry. So he says, that's why Rabbi Akiva says, my Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I'm smiling. You know why? So he brings two psukim, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu talks about two people who are going to bear witness, Uriah HaKohen and Zechariahu ben Yeverechyahu. Uriah is the one who prophesied that Yerushalayim is going to be plowed under, total destruction. That's what we see right now. So Rabbi Akiva said, now that I see that the Nevuas HaChurban of Uriah has been fulfilled so precisely, now I believe Be'emuna Shleima that the Nevuah of Zechariah is also going to be fulfilled. And what's the Nevuah of Zechariah? Oh, Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenos, the elderly are going to be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, Mechov Yomim, and they're going to be children, boys, girls, playing in the streets. A few weeks ago in Harnof, I was talking to a few Yeshivabachim about the Gemara. I said, does this pasuk in Zechariah remind you of anything? So I said to them,
I'm the first half of the pasuk. See this beard? There are zakenim, uzakenos in Yerushalayim. I took them to the street, and the Rebbeinu helped. I was also Nez Golim in Hashemayim. There were children playing in the street. They disappeared later. They were shouting Malachim. I said, do you see that the nevuah of Zechariah has been fulfilled? What Rabbi Akiva 2,000 years ago saw in his mind's eye is the reality of Yerushalayim today. Does it make a difference to you? I made a deal some while ago. I have all sorts of grandchildren. Can I inherit? I love them all. The Haredis and the non-Haredis. And I have a full-time job de-Haredizing the Haredis, and I'm very successful. I'm very successful. So I made a deal with them. My deal with them is the following. You know, everybody gets hung up about the Ostzionisten, Mizrachisten, that we refer to the Medina as Reishis Tzimichas Gu'ulatenu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. It gets people hot under the collar. Me, it doesn't bother at all. I believe that that's so bad. There's no question about it. But so I said, listen, don't get hung up about that. The Chafetz Chaim referred to his period before Shoah and before HaKamos Medina Yisrael as Sof HaGolus. By now, most probably, the Chafetz Chaim would have said that this is Reishis Mizgul HaSein, but I'm going to start up with the Chafetz Chaim. Okay. And then Rohanan Wasserman referred to it as Ikvis of the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. I told him, you know what? My deal with you is the following. You don't have to use any of those names. But one thing you're going to agree, and you can't argue with me at all. I call this Tekufa the period of Kiyum Divrei HaNeviim. The words of the Neviim are being fulfilled every day before our very eyes. Of course, there's one condition. You have to know the Neviim. You have to learn a Pasuk in Navi in order to be able to see. What, there are hundreds of psukim about Kibbutz Golios. There are hundreds of psukim about Eretz Yisrael being fruitful. I learned there in Yeshiva 55, 56. We lived on tomatoes, cucumbers, and avatiach. That was it. The first apples came on to the market for somebody coming from America. Those apples didn't even deserve to be called apples. Right? Wait. Fast forward 55 years later. 55 years later. Kol Tuv Shabbalam you have over here. Did you listen to Kriya Satori yesterday? What was the most awesome pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai? Guys! You don't even have to go to the Nevi'im. There's an awesome pasuk over there. And you can all testify to that pasuk. We're all Edim. V'hashimoti ani et haaretz, I will make the land desolate. In middle of the tochacha. In middle of the klolos. The most awesome bracha. The Rebbeinu throws in a bracha. I will make the land desolate. V'shamimu aleha oyevechem hayoshvim by your enemies who live in the land will be desolate. Rashi and the Ramban both say this is midah tova. This is a good measure for Klal Yisrael. No enemy will ever be able to take possession. No enemy will ever be able to settle the land. And I once for about 10 seconds. Had a thought after Rashi wrote Pasuk Lamed Beis. After Rashi wrote that, did he possibly get up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat? God, how did I write that? You know, maybe in 100 years from now, 200 years from now, the Japanese are going to come and there will be Samsungs growing from all the trees. And industrial people will come and they're going to take over the land. So the Ramban goes further and the Ramban says, this is a land that was more fruitful than any other,
And its Chareva is now more desolate than any other land. The Chulam and all of the nations are trying to settle it. Ve'ein le'el yadama, they can't do it. The Chamdan said that 800 years ago. And you know what? No single solitary people ever were able to settle this land. Because the Pasuk says, V'shamamu aleha yaveichem hayoshim ba, your enemies in the land are going to be desolate. The land will never respond to the ministering hands of any guy. It responds only to Jewish hands. And more than that, come on, I'm going to need another, I didn't plan on all of this. The famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Chesed Aleph, Omer Rav Abba, Ein Lecha Keitz Megulam, he said, there is no greater revealed end of days than this. And what does he say? The great Pasuk in Yecheskel, chapter 36, Pasuk 8, I think. Okay. Va'atem Hori Yisrael. You, mountains of Israel, give out your branches, carry your fruit for my people Israel. The time for them to come close, the time for them to return is coming close. The Navi says that when the time is going to come for Klal Yisrael to return, the land is going to become fruitful. We saw it in the last 100 years. We've seen it. Mamish Lenege Deinu. One of the people that I want to take by the hand and walk through Emek Yisrael, Mark Twain. He described Emek Yisrael dead, dry, arid. Nothing grows. Nothing lives there. Boy, would I love to take him. Mark? Samuel Clemens, huh? Let's go for a walk through Emek Yisrael. His eyes will pop out. He won't know what hit him. But we know what hit him. The Navi. Ki kervul avo, Klal Yisrael is coming, and Eretz Yisrael gives out its fruits. There must be 100 or 200 psukim like that in Tanakh. V'yashavtem levetach ba'aretzchem. What was the whole beginning of Parashat Bekukosai? God, Parashat Bekukosai. That inspired one of the great and memorable statements that I made. You know, there are memorable things, and don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. No, I don't think they ever learned that in American history. You never heard that? You never heard don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes? The Minutemen in Boston, the redcoats are coming. One if I land, two if I see. Give me liberty or give me death. I have but one life to give to my country. They don't know American history. So I'm going to tell you my great work. Now you won't remember that either. What did the general at the Battle of the Bulge in the Second World War, what did he say when the Germans called on the American army to surrender? What did he say? Nuts. Nuts to you. That's a great American statement of all time. All right? On this pasuk in Yecheskel, I have said often, if you want to speak to the Rabbeinu Shlomo, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. The fruits, the vegetables, Tnuvas Haaretz, that's the great simon that we are in a period of Gula. But you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see it. Well, meanwhile, back at our Gemara at the end of Makkos, do you understand the power that Rabbi Akiva had? Chachme Yisrael see Churban, and you know what he's able to see? He is able to see. He's able to see a day when the elderly and children, Yerushalayim is going to be jammed with people. When I'm caught in the traffic jam, which is just about every day in Yerushalayim, and my wife sees that I'm getting ready to hunt the guy in front of me to move a little faster, she says, no, 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 no. What would Rabbi Akiva say when he sees a traffic jam in Yerushalayim? What would David HaMelech say? God, this is my Yerushalayim. I can't believe it. So, lo yu'uman, what's going on over here? Early last week, but the last line in the Gemara, in Makkos, Bezeh haloshon omru lo, Chachmei Yisrael said the following to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva, you have consoled us. I remember a long time ago, I was zeichet to be one of Boy Beso of Rav Avram Shapira Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, a sheaf of Merkaz Rav. He was a big, big man, courageous. So I had a conversation one day with his son, Rabbi Yaakov, who was the present Rashiv of Merkaz Rav. And he told me a word on this Gemara, and I wanted to make sure that I remembered what he had told me. So I called him, and we talked about it. After the first story, Chachmei Yisrael didn't say to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva nichamtanu. But after the second, they did. Why didn't they say Akiva nichamtanu at the end of the first story? So he said, what was Rabbi Akiva's response to the first story? A svara. That if this is the way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam treats, how he's going to treat us. Second story, it's not a svara. You know, a svara you can always find a fakert svara. But the second was a pasuk. And a pasuk is ultimate truth. Truth is a pasuk in Tanakh. V'shamamu aleha yevechem, that's absolute truth. Do you understand that all of us, we can all bear testimony that pasuk is right? It was true. It was given in Torah 3,500 years ago, and here we are, after 1,900 years that the land was desolate. And take a look. Look what's going on over here. You know what that means? I've been saying this for a while now, and I had a big fight with somebody on my block. I'm a very peace-loving person, you understand? I'm a soft guy. But here it is, they start with me. So here is this guy on my block. He's the editor of a big something or other. So he starts giving me the works, you understand? What? The Medina, Ben-Gurion, Herzl, Ben-Gurion. So, you know, I'm the very calm guy. So I said, I must be making a mistake. I thought it was the Rabbeinu Shel Olam who did it all. He looked at me. He didn't know what to say. He was stuck. Finished. Okay? There's a very fascinating tshuva for Moshe Feinstein. I think it's in Yoredeya, the last chelik in Yoredeya, about Israeli soldiers who saved people from Entebbe, Uganda. You weren't born then either, right? You weren't born July 6, 1976. How many of you were born before that? A student body. You were born July 3rd, 1976. July 4th, 1976 was the great rescue at Entebbe that the Peshit shook the whole world. I remember that day. So Rav Meisha writes, you should know that the soldiers that went to rescue, the ability to do it, the will to do it, the courage to do it, came directly from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Because he writes that rescue is a nes goli. That rescue is a nes goli. And then if you're going to go ask Nachashikashis, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam brings miracles through Chayalim, you understand, who maybe are not Shem Shabbos, it is. Don't ask Osul Hishakim, don't be a smart aleck. Ela Tomin Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam decides who's going to do. But he'd send us?
Who was going to go out to do the job? We were ready to do any jobs. We weren't ready to do anything. It's all Nes Goli. All Nes Goli. But Pasuk is ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is a Pasuk. You have to learn Tanakh. You have to learn Tanakh. Start with Haftorahs. The Haftorah of Parashas Bahar. You ever learned the Haftorah of Parashas Bahar? Come on, you guys. Come on. It's the most eerie, surrealistic scene of all. The Babylonians are banging, their battering rams are banging against the walls of Yerushalayim. The city is in its final death throes. Someplace beneath the ground over here, Yirmiyahu is in prison. And he gets a nevuah that your cousin is going to come sell you a piece of land in Anatot. Yirmiyahu came from Anatot. Anatot is an Arab village, Anta, that's not far from the Reches. You know what the Reches is? What's it? Reches Shuafat is Shlomo? What's that? Ramat Shlomo. Ramat Shlomo. Someplace between Ramat Shlomo and the Vei Yaakov is Anatot. It was already captured by the enemy. So he says, your cousin is going to come and he's going to make you an offer you can't refuse. He's going to sell you his land in Anatot. You understand? This is a classic Don Corleone job. He can't refuse the offer because the Rebbeinu tells him, Yirmiyahu, buy it. Buy it. The Pesukim are beautiful. Yirmiyahu asks no questions. You know, they describe, I imagine someplace like Jean Valjean, someplace in the Bastille, people walking around with torn garments and rats and mice running around on the floor and one candle, and Yirmiyahu writes out a shtar, and Navi says that he had Edom, they made Kiyum Shtaras. They learned a few ktsaisin along the way, and he sold. But there were kinyanim, all sorts of kinyanim, chaynish, and he bought the field, the useless field. He bought it for good money. That was the Dvar Hashem. And the one word of nevuah is there, od yikanu batim sadot uchromim ba'eretz hazaz. There will come a time yet that people are going to be buying and selling houses, fields, and vineyards in this land. Is that true? Is a two-room apartment in Yerushalayim worth more than a house in Flatbush? Absolutely. I don't know if it's more than West Hempstead or Toronto. The words of the Navi are absolutely true, and we can testify to it. You know what I've been saying for years? This is what I started saying. I don't go for all this stuff finding proofs that Meshe Emes v'Teichos Emes, philosophical truths. I'd have to prove anything. I don't need no discovery programs anymore. I don't need somebody to tell me, I'm going to prove to you that God exists. Give me a break. I don't need any proof. The proof is all around us. Open up your eyes and you'll see words that were said in Torah and Nevi'im 3,000 years ago. It's all true. What do I need proof for? There's the proof. If you open up your eyes, you're able to see the truth. We've been zeichet to live in, we lived in very unusual times. So I'm going to tell you two more things, and with that we're going to close. I'm running out of energy already. I'm giving all my koyach to you guys. I'm going to tell you something, first of all, that I've never revealed publicly before. You're going to go ahead and you're going to tell it over in my name, and I guarantee you people will say, Gold is one big liar. The following is the story. I came with my wife
for a visit to Eretz Yisrael in the summer of 1969, 2 years after the Six-Day War. I was a chashiva. I couldn't get away, and we had five little children to find somebody to take care of. It was so difficult. I would have gotten on a plane and come flying here, but I couldn't, so we came. It worked out. My dear mother-in-law and father-in-law, Aleihem HaShalom, they pashut made it possible for us to come. On the plane, I became friendly with a Roshiva. And what do Jews talk about? Politics. So, you know, about 10 minutes later, I already heard every dirty word in the book about the Medina. And then I asked him, what about Yom Yerushalayim? It was only 2 years. Yom Yerushalayim, nothing. Garnished, he tells me. So I said to him something that very few people would have been able to say in those days. I told him, I know somebody in Yerushalayim. His name is Yosef Shalom Eliashiv. He should have a refuah shleima. I know him. Someday, if you'll be good, you'll find out how I knew him, and knew him well. Let's go ask him. So we arrived in Eretz Yisrael. We made up a date. I was amazed. I had been by Rav Eliashiv in 1956. I think I was there at the beginning of Chodesh of 1956, Tavshin Tetzai. And then it was amazing, you know, to find your way through the little alleyways of Meir Sherman, but I found it, I got it. And now, 13 years later, I found my way back again. And we sit down in Rav Eliashiv's living room. And we each say what we have to say. And I'm waiting, you know. I don't know what it's going to be. Wow. This is what they're not going to believe. Trust me. Rav Eliashiv looks at my friend, Rav Shiva, and he says, you were for 19 years in the United States? Do you know what it meant for us to sit over here and look eastward and we can't go to the Kotel? We're cut off from Yerushalayim? You know what it felt like? Do you know what pain and suffering it was for us? You have no idea what a simcha it was. End of conversation. That's what he said. I'm not saying that he said, go out in the Rikud HaDegalim today in the afternoon. I'm not saying that he said you should say Hallel 10 times with a bracha. But it was pretty clear what the man was saying. That was a great day in Jewish history. Okay, you're the first ones. Shechiyanu, I told that story. If I'm telling stories, I'm going to tell you... I'm going to tell you one more story. This is not 69, this is 68. One of my great schusim was that... In January of 1959, better remember all of this. In January of 1959, my Roshiva in Baltimore sent somebody into the Beis Medrash to say, Roshiva wants to see you. My immediate response was, Roshiva wants to see me. What did I do now? What does he want from me? Anyway, I go with fear and trepidation. I go into Roshiva's office and says, Shalom. I want you to come to my house tonight and I'll tell you what I have to talk to you about. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So now I have to go through agony for the rest of the day. What in heaven's name Dr. Rashid wants me to? What did I do? I was getting into trouble every so often. All right? Anyway, finally, I make it through the day. I get to his house that night. He asks me to sit down in his dining room with him and he says to me, Shalom, we want to open a yeshiva in Toronto. Will you go to start the yeshiva? First of all, I wanted a sigh for relief that he's not starting up with me, understand? That was great. But I immediately said yes. And that changed my whole life. And I went a number of months later. A lot of hard work. I don't have to tell you. You don't know about your little boy. You weren't born yet.
started the yeshiva. Anyway, now fast forward. It's 1968. It's the first Yom Yerushalayim after 67. We're sitting in the dining room for lunch. A big, big olam. The whole staff. And I was sitting there. So, you know, I still had a little guts in those days. And I said, listen, chevra, Rosh Yeshiva Rabbeim going to Yolam. Today is Yom Yerushalayim. I think we should take the bachur and dance on the yeshiva lawn, l'chvoda shel Yerushalayim. Until finally somebody says, Svira. Then all of a sudden, 12 people, yes, Svira. I'm looking at these guys, you understand, give me a break. So usually, in the world, usually, when something like this happens, you have to hope that in your lifetime, if you live long enough, you'll have that besach tikkun nekama. The last one finished saying Svira, and all of a sudden we hear from the entrance to the dining room all sorts of noise. What's the noise? In those days, long ago and far away, when a bacher became a chassan, he announced it by coming in to the yeshiva and handing out Rachman and Itzlan cigarettes. That was the minute of it. It's a minute shtus, and it's not done anymore. But one of the chashiv abachim of the yeshiva is at the other end of the dining room, and he's handing out cigarettes. All of a sudden, all the guys at my table jump up and sing. And I sit quietly at the table. 10-15 minutes later, they all come and they sit down and they're wiping their brows. I said one word. Svira? It was one of the happiest moments of my life. By the way, if they had any brains, they felt pretty stupid. That's exactly the way they were supposed to feel. So you know what I did? I went over to a number of the bachim and I said, for as long as you dance l'chvoda shel Yerushalayim, nobody is going to be marked absent from any class. And right after mincha, for an hour and a half, the entire student body of the yeshiva danced l'chvoda shel Yerushalayim without their rebbeim. And nobody was marked absent. And Kvoda shel Yerushalayim was saved on that great day. But you know what? You know what happened over here? There are people who see, and there are people who don't see. The biggest curse is not to see. Rabbi Akiva had the ability to see, but an awesome ability to see. And only Bekitzer, I'll tell you, you know why? You know where he got that great ability to see? I'll tell you. You know where he got it? From his wife, Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua, who was the richest man in Yerushalayim, marries an Am Haaretz Gomor shepherd who doesn't know the Aleph Beis. And her father disowns her. And she sends him off to yeshiva to learn. And 24 years later, he comes back with 24,000 talmidim, and she's trying to make her way through the crowd. And they don't want to let this Isha over to Rabbi Akiva. Says, oh, no. Sheli v'shalachem shelah. Everything that we are is her. She had the awesome ability to see in this Am Haaretz, Rabbi Akiva, that this man can be the gadol of all times. That's an ability to see. That's where Rabbi Akiva got his ability to see. And we have to develop that. We have to see the Rabbeinu Shalom because he's knocking on the doors of our hearts every single solitary day. So let's get in with one of the things I usually love to tell. The Ramban arrived in Yerushalayim in 1267. You know how many Jews there were in Yerushalayim? The Ramban writes it in a letter to his son. Two? You see two?
There were two Jews in Jerusalem in 1267. Okay? And those two Jews, they were in the dyeing business. Now you have to know how to spell that, you understand? Unfortunately, Jews have been dying throughout all of history, but these fellows dyed clothing, and they were needed in the city. So they were given permission to live in the city, two Jews. Rebbe Ovadia Mibar Tanura comes in 1488, and there are about 200-300 people living in, Jews living in the city. We're talking about awesome, awesome growth. Rebbe Yehuda Chosid comes in 1700, and there are about 5,000 Jews in the city. Gold comes to learn in Yeshiva in 1955, and there are 146,000 Jews in the city. And you're living now in a city of a half a million, 500,000 Jews living in the city. This is not the fulfillment of who knows how many Nebuahs. Can you imagine? Rabbi Akiva is looking down from on high. I told you so. Oh, Yeshua Zakeinu is a Kenu, Yisbirachov, Yerushalayim. The city will be full of children. This is an awesome, awesome simcha. My last word is going to be the ugliest one I think I've ever said. And I'm not afraid to say it. In Hallel, there are changing moods. From the straits, I call out. 1 minute, joy. The next minute, pain. Crying out in pain. Zahayom osa Hashem nogilo v'nishma chavo, boundless joy. What comes immediately afterwards? Oh no, Hashem oishiyono. What is this movement from joy to fear, from happiness to pain? Because first of all, that's the Jewish condition in this world. There's always somebody lurking out there. We're celebrating Yom Yerushalayim, and there's a Meshugana who wants to wipe us out. So therefore we have two things to say. We say Zahayom Os Hashem Nogilo V'nis B'chapo, and we say the Rabbeinu Shalom, we need a Yeshua on Hashem Hashiyono. And by the way, I hold that it's a chov on everybody. Choose any part of davening that you want. V'lam al shinim al titikva. You have to be mispalled. The Klal Yisrael, that the Rebbeim should destroy all Sona Yisrael. U'brosham achmad anijed. You have to be mispalled for that every day. Find your own place, wherever you want. But here's the ugly thing I said. Do you know who can cry to the Rebbeinu Shlom and say, Ono Hashem Oshiyono, please save me, and he will listen? Somebody in the fullness of his neshama who can thank the Rebbeinu Shlom and say, Zahayom, Osa Hashem, Nogilo V'nisma Chabo, he can turn to the Rebbeinu Shlom and say, Ono Hashem Oshiyono. But if you can't thank him for all the chasadim that he's done, don't bother him. He don't want to hear from you. Don't give him your Ono Hashem Oshiyonos. Chov Kadosh lihit bonein b'chazdei Hashem, and to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and what he has done for Klal Yisrael the last 64 years. Lo Yuman, Lo Yuman. One of my great Rebbeim was Rav Pam Tervetas Seichem Mamish Tzadik L'Racha. He gave a great shmuz once. After the Shoah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to regain the love of his people, and he started pouring out chesed, and we're the beneficiaries of his chesed. Ad hayom hazeh. Zeh hayom, osa Hashem, nogilo v'nishma chovo.